Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chiefs Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders! Pressure! And he just dives in!
Sherbert, Phil Mullinax, and Jamie Bradford.
Welcome in, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show on a Monday, episode 417. Welcome in and welcome home. We open it up live in Power Hour now with Mike Morgan, JC Sherbert here, and of course, JB taking a little time off, spending some time with the family. So
up in the mountains. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, a couple of house cleaning things before we get started. We're a 2-hour tour today. We're normally like Gilligan's Island, a 3. Speaking of, one day we're going to have the Marianne or Ginger debate here on the show. We have to. Oh, okay. So all you guys start freshening up on that.
Get ready.
You got to right, Mike. If you've never seen Gilligan's Island, you got to go.
Yeah,
got to go do some research. But so 2-hour tour today. Back for a full 3 tomorrow. JB is off. We do have John Whittle in this hour. You can have me in this hour. Next hour it's just Mike and Phil. But Mike's got the Love Chevrolet drive around the SEC. The emerging segment here on our show. If you've missed any of those, you can check that out on our YouTube page. We have it. It's a playlist. So you can just listen to Mike. Mike's good to go to sleep to, from what I'm told by my wife.
Well, hold on.
She used to listen to JC and Morgan and fall asleep. So
yeah.
So I think the docile tones are pretty good. So it's if you want to just check that, that's good. But it's really a neat segment and one that I don't think we talk about enough, because you guys, you have a lot of content options in the South Carolina market, a lot of great people that do work there in this space. Not sure that locally there's another market that gets this type of, I guess, national perspective. Or region or conference wide perspective, talking about Mike and his travels. And, you know, Mike and I both have been to every stadium, and not just for games, for Carolina stuff, for work. And so I think that's just a little, you know, you'll do a little something extra. That's a little something extra that the show gives you. So that's a good segment. I'm enjoying it myself. I get a lot out of it. So be sure to check that out next hour. But Whittle will be here. Gamecocks won 2 of 3 at Missouri. Got a little ugly there in the middle, but it's kind of like, I don't know, kind of like a jelly donut with a prune in the middle. You know, the jelly donut was certainly delicious on the outside. The prune in the middle, maybe not. Carolina starting pitching certainly deserves some work. And we're going to ask Whittle about this Eli Jones thing, because that appears to be a move that has not worked. Just from what's been happening since he went to Saturday and Roman and Good went to Sunday. Mike, how are you, bud?
I am good. Appreciate the kind words, and yeah, look forward to dishing out another Love Chevy drive around the SEC in hour two. So you are exiting stage right for the second hour. Is that right? So we are okay. So it'll be me and Mr. Mad Dog himself.
That's right.
Phil Mullinax.
And the chat hour. Boxers. Don't forget the chat boxers.
Yeah. You know, I'm working with Jamie on a segment where we would actually include, in addition to chat row, some of you will be able to call and leave kind of messages. And the idea for the segment would be called Gamecock Graffiti. And it's something that I've wanted to do, but I'm not smart enough to execute it without the help of Jamie, who is like a technical whiz. You guys both really are. I'm like the novice in that area. So on a day like today, Gamecock Graffiti would have been great, but we'll certainly, get knee deep in the chat row and everything else and have some
like
fun
the
with
Weiner,
that.
The Weiner line. Who's
yeah,
the
well, Prime yeah, time. I mean, really the Weiner line from Packer was just a ripoff of this goes back years. You know, I'm before I started hosting sports talk shows, I listened to sports talk shows. The format really exploded in the mid-90s. You know, it started with Mike and the Mad Dog and some other folks. So a lot of stuff has been, let's just say, borrowed. But the Packer one was just a bunch of people complaining and moaning. That's not what we're all about here. Or like callers talking trash to other callers. That's good if you have no content and you just want to kill 4 hours a day because you don't cover anything and you don't have a ton of knowledge on anything. So you just you can kind of just sit back and be lazy and let callers trash one another. That's not what we're looking to do on that particular segment. But yeah, there's been other shows that have done offshoots of this. But I think it'd be great because I know we have a lot of people that can't necessarily tune in live. And our numbers have been just ridiculously good. The fact that we're averaging over 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 on YouTube alone is amazing. And the fact that we've got all these people that do chime in on chat row, and very often we don't get to you. It's not because we're ignoring you, just because we're doing the show. But in that second hour, I promise I will get to whatever you want to get to on chat row and have some fun with that. It was a unique weekend for me, JC, in that I saw my first ever Formula One race in person. Wife and I went to the Miami Grand Prix.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's unreal. It was a hoops who, you know, Pat Mahomes was there, a bunch of athletes, entertainers. Donald Trump was there, which certainly hurts to cure. The traffic getting out of there was insane, but I don't care. It was worth it. There's very few things left on my bucket list, to be honest with you. I've been to Super Bowls, Final Fours, World Series, pro and college. I've been to Augusta's on the bucket list, as we've talked about. I'm embarrassed that not only I haven't gone, but no one on this show. But I'd never been to an auto race in person. And I have a lot of friends that had this fascination with Formula One. And I remember my first job in sports talk radio was in Columbus, Georgia. And they would, you know, 90% of my show was Auburn, Alabama, Georgia. And you want to talk about just rattling off phone calls for 2-3 hours a day. That I could put it on autopilot because you had three passionate fan bases that were always ready to go. But we would do remotes. You know, a big way that radio stations make money on local sports talk radios to do remotes when the show's on location. So we would do it at your typical sports bars, and I was doing minor league baseball for the Columbus Red Sticks, so we'd do some at the ballpark. But one of the more unique ones, this guy, this foreign, this European guy, owned a restaurant, and he wanted us to do the show out there. And I would go on and do my normal SEC football and this and that. and he was a huge Formula One race fan and had all the TVs on F1 coverage. And he'd be like, "Mike, very good show, but could you talk more F1? I said, "Sir, I don't know a damn thing about F1. I can't give you one name. And I still don't know much about it." But it was pretty cool. And I got to tell you, when you're in person and we were in like the second row for much of the race, and one of the areas where they come passing by and flying by at speeds up to 200 miles an hour or whatever it is, you feel it. And it is a feeling that's unlike anything in a sporting event. It is unbelievable. So I enjoyed it. It's out of my comfort zone. Sometimes you got to get out of your comfort zone a little bit, right? You know, I've been to a few hockey games this year. That's not my comfort zone. I don't ptend to know NHL hockey, but I've had a blast, JC. I've had a blast.
2024 literally has been like Mike and Summer do the world.
Yeah.
Because it's like every time I see one, all right, we're at the southernmost tip in the Keys. All right. Now we're at a hockey game. And she's been to see Morgan Wallen three times. And you,
oh, my God.
And y'all are going to see F1 and hockey. I mean, it's amazing, man. It's
a year ago.
It's not I don't want your life. I want your life. I don't want your life.
West Kane in football and going to sporting events might have been your life, Dad, but I don't want your life.
No, you know, less than a year ago, we were in Denver seeing Stapleton and Strait.
George Strait. It's amazing.
Also a little out of my comfort zone, but I had a hell of a time. Mm-hmm. We saw Billy Joel in Nashville. And, of course, my travels just doing games, I get to do and see a lot of things, and sometimes she gets to come along. But we try to live it up, man. You know, you only get one time around the sun, so you might as well make the most of it.
No doubt. F1, yeah, it's F1 is different than, like, I got stuck in my early career when I was in the state of Georgia. Amazing how this all works, right? I was in Gainesville in the northeast part of it. I was in print, sports editor. And, good Lord, that town, hyper-local focused newspaper, good, not great high school sports, more of a basketball place in the state of Georgia. Very contentious readership that always thought somebody was out to get their high school. I mean, it was, and then a bunch of dogs. The paper had two things that they focused on. Number one, the Olympic canoe qualifiers or some crap was there during the 95 Olympics.
Yeah.
So in the beginning of football season, college football had to go cover like an Olympic canoeing event. The other thing that was also during college football season was this thing called the Petit Le Mans. Which is Formula One style cars, but it's an endurance race. It's like cross country. You know, in high school, we have track and cross country.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like cross country of cars. So they run these cars for like 24 hours. And it's just like this little like road track that, track that goes up and down, kind of like the go-karts you used to ride as a kid. And this is the most boring, ridiculous thing I've ever had to cover. But they sunk a bunch of money into marketing and advertising and spent a bunch of money with the paper. So the bosses were like, "Little Petit Le Mans. I'm like, "Do you not realize like what kind of mortal sin you're committing here? Because it's college football season and we have to go watch these stupid cars." I have a friend actually that lives out in Texas that went to a Formula One out in Austin one time and enjoyed it. So I guess Formula One is a little different, but I try to stay away from like I know NASCAR and I kind of know that type of racing. And of course, growing up in rural South Carolina, you got the drag strip. Everybody remembers the drag strip. So that's cool. But the European style thing, just because of my hatred for Petit Le Mans, I've just never gotten into it.
Well, like I said, I it's not like I'm going to be buying the package, the F1 package. But I don't know if I'll ever watch 2 seconds of it on TV, but in person, pretty awesome. Much like hockey, watching it in person is a different. And they tried minor league hockey in Colombia with the Inferno. There was a whole thing. Mike McGee wouldn't allow them in the new arena, and they're playing in the old Coliseum. And it was just kind of you were setting them up to fail. Minor league hockey is a tough sell. A lot of people are just going for the fights and whatnot. But look, we all have, as I always make the analogy, the buffet table, and we get that one plate, and it is loaded with football. And then we've got room for basketball and baseball. For some people, women's basketball gets a larger portion, maybe even softball, maybe soccer. You know, I got a lot of soccer fans. Mm-hmm. And I've been to Atlanta has a team, Atlanta United, been to some games there. Blast. I was in Chelsea years ago, but didn't get a chance to see a soccer match there in England, which would have been fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But that's maybe, still on the bucket list.
Maybe you can get the hookup to the one in Columbia coming up. I know if I get tickets, you could have mine because I'm not going.
Tell me again what's coming.
Manchester United is playing Liverpool. Okay.
Yeah, we're actually going to that. Yeah, I got a couple of tickets.
Yeah, I would go to that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When is that?
Yeah, it's August 3rd. Okay. August 3rd. So, yeah, you won't catch me within 30 yards of that place. But
it'll be different.
European soccer is just not me. I just I was raised a little different. You know, Dad wasn't a big soccer guy. So he kind of poked fun at it a little bit.
Well, I used to – so I played for years.
I played huge. 1 year.
And yeah. And it was huge in Virginia. And then you know, big in Florida, and then eventually, like a lot of kids, I outgrew it, so to speak, and just all my time was football, basketball, baseball. Couldn't get enough of playing those three sports.
Yeah.
And you just didn't, you couldn't juggle all of those. And so when I would be the least bit critical of soccer, there'd always be some guy that would call up the show in Columbia. Well, you just don't know. You just don't understand the game. Like, sir, I played it for 6 years. I played travel ball. I understand the game. Doesn't mean I want to watch it on TV.
Yeah. That's as people say, I go easy on soccer these days because Whittle is a good friend of mine and loves English Premier League soccer. And,
oh, he's one of those. Okay.
He's an Arsenal fan, has his favorite team. And I respect him. Yeah.
Probably got the towel.
I'm not a hater. It's just not for me.
No, you know? I'm not a hater on it. Like whatever people are into, I'm all for it.
I think that the match at Williams-Brice is going to be a big crowd and it's going to be pretty cool to see.
Absolutely. It's historic.
Make a lot of money for the university as well. So, that's good with that. All right, so we're almost up against a break. Did want to mention, because we're going to ask Whittle about this too, Gamecocks did, I guess, rounded out their basketball roster. I guess that's how you do it these days. You just round out your roster.
I like that pickup.
Hey, man, I'm no offense to the kid from LaSalle or the kid from Stony Brook, or Mount St. Mary's. This kid looks more like a true point and a defensive player. I always look at shooting percentages. 38% from three, 80% from the foul line, draws a lot of fouls, was the MEAC player of the year at Norfolk State.
And first team all defense.
Yeah, I mean, so Gamecocks may have fallen into a pretty good one here. Plus, he's from Greensboro, North Carolina, so he's a Carolina's kid. He's not as big, you know, at 6 foot as the kid from Mount St. Mary's was 6'4". Of course, Talon Cooper was 6'3", 6'4". The kid from LaSalle that ended up at Villanova was about 5'11 and a half, so same size there. But the Philly kid was a little bulkier. But, man, I think this is about as good as you can get. He was going to go to VCU, coached by one Ryan Odom, Dave's son. They're pretty good Atlantic 10 program, not chopped liver. So,
no,
Gamecocks flipped. Gamecocks, it's so rare to flip players in college basketball. This year, the Gamecocks flipped too. Cam Scott from Texas and Jamari Thomas from VCU. So that's interesting.
We'll get more specific into it with Whittle, and then I've got some thoughts as well. But I'll just say this before we hit the break. I don't think Carolina could have had a much better offseason in basketball in recruiting. You mentioned the flips and in the portal. I don't think they could have done much better than they did. I think you should be really happy with what Lamont, and I'll keep going back to that name. I think people are catching on now, just how important Kerry Rich is. JC, you and I have known him a long time. I go back with Kerry for 20-something years. Used to play pickup ball with him at the Y with Xavier McDaniel and all those guys. But those two were a force in the offseason. And we've talked so much about the importance of the history of Gamecock basketball is a blip and then a dip. A blip of success on the radar, and everybody gets excited, and then recruiting falls off and everything else falls off. And that's been the history of Gamecock basketball post McGuire. I think this ain't going to be a dip.
And I think it's no doubt. I think it's huge that you get a guy like Cam Scott in state, 5-star guy. You keep him at home. He's committed someplace else. So, and then, you know, with the guy from it's Cooper. What's the kid's name from Missouri, Phil?
Jordan Butler.
People want to call him Jordan Cooper for some reason. Jordan Butler wasn't even sniffing Carolina. You know, he was an ABC. Anybody with Carolina, he's right back. He's an upstate kid. He's not even a Columbia kid. And then Pringle, a low country kid from Seabrook, comes back from Bama after a Final Four run. I think he's a better fit in any system but Bama's because they shoot so many threes. A big guy like that sometimes can't get the scoring going. But I mean, a big athletic rim protector was something, frankly, they did not have. Colomori Boyles is a local kid. Zach Davis is an in-state kid. So, you know, all these things that we used to talk about doing it with in-state talent, the need to do that, they're kind of coming to fruition, which makes it even more, I think, exciting and impressive because the players and the fans in-state kind of know who these guys are. You know, it's not like bringing in 7 weirdos from Alderaan. You know, you got you do have a dude from Finland, but, you know, it's a pretty stacked, pretty locally oriented group, and that's always been a big key here. All right, we got to hit the break. John Whittle on all things coming up on the other side. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show live from the Sonorama Studios each and every day. We'll be back.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And Chicken Cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, in Bluffton, and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Gamecock owned and operated.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare. But at the Barn Door Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy installation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Door Company. Gamecock owned, Gamecock operated. The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia, and go Gamecocks!
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks. Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark and go Gamecocks.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet. The best selection of new Chevys. The lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power.
Hey Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever and I've never felt more confident in my golf game. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks!
This is Zachary Davis from Carolina Hoops, and you're watching the show with JB, JC, and Phil.
Going to do this.
Johnson with the crossover. Off the glass and in!
Oh, that's right. Gamecock Traditions now partnering with the Garnet Trust. All proceeds of anything, not all proceeds, but all the items that are branded with the university logo, a portion of those proceeds now go to fund NIL efforts. And I'm sure that was an important aspect of picking up the new guard that we will now get John Whittle's opinion on. Whittle on all things. Whittle, let's open up with the big news from basketball with Lamont Paris completing the roster for the upcoming season with Jamari Thomas transfer from Norfolk State. What are your thoughts on this incoming guard here, John?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I look at it on the surface and think seems like a pretty good target from the jump. much less a backup plan or backup to the backup to the backup plan or whatever he was. I mean, he's a player of the year in the MEAC. He's a all defensive player. You know, he can score as a point guard, but he is a point guard. He's not a combo guard. He's not off guard. He's exactly what, you know, South Carolina kind of needs. You know, there's a lot to like about what he is in his game. And, you know, I feel like this is a great pickup, certainly for Lamont Paris and his staff.
I'm with you. I thought probably, just to my untrained eye, I liked him better than the other two. You know, I think the kid from Philly had a little nastiness to him, but, you know, this kid kind of plays a little nastiness as well. And then, you know, of course, the kid from Mount St. Mary's is 6'4", but I like this guy, John. I'm like, wow, I'm kind of with you. You know, he's good. I mean, you know, he's got a lot. And the MEAC is, it's not a great conference, don't get me wrong, but they do have a lot of good athletes in that league. I mean, it's a very athletic league, top to bottom, and you do have the occasional really good player that comes out of there. Now with the portal, most of those guys get on out and go elsewhere, kind of like this guy. But, and this is his third school. He started at UNC Wilmington. But, that was a great way to finish it off. Kind of give us your impressions of the entire effort as far as getting this roster back in shape. And I would say quickly, but guys and gals and people that listen, I think this is going to kind of be the norm every year. Most programs are going to have a month to redo their roster when the portal opens, and that's going to be college basketball from here forward. But your thoughts, Whittle, on, you know, kind of the overall effort by Lamont and Kerry and those guys?
Yeah, I mean, you never want to count your chickens and say the roster's fully done. You know, you right now you're full, and you know, I do like the pickup. You know, and another thing about him is, you know, not only did he average 3.8 assists a game, he was also the team's second leading rebounder. Is a 6-foot guard. So, you know, I know it's the MEAC and those teams, those NCAA tournament teams are usually the 15 or the 16 and right in that range. So they're not really valued as a conference, but, you know, he did a lot of good things in there in his year up there with that school. So, you know, I think the roster overall is in a really good place. I mean, I feel like you're pretty balanced. I mean, you, in my opinion, from a point guard standpoint, running the offense, like you needed a guy like Jamari, because I don't know how much you have behind him from that standpoint. You know, Jacoby Wright was, I thought, better in his best this past year, you know, playing in more of an off-ball role, playing some in an off-ball role. But, you know, he's probably going to have to shoulder a lot of point guard duties here next year. You know, we'll see how that balance and that dynamic works. It'll be interesting to see what else they do at that point guard spot. You know, they're still high on Morris Ugasuk. But, you know, Zach Davis is an interesting guy to get ready to handle the ball a little bit more, maybe. You know, he was a high school point guard. And, you know, if a team is if he's got the right matchup, I feel like he can go out there and play that position a little bit in some spots. So we'll see how all that kind of manifests over the course of the next you know, couple of months.
Talking with John Whittle from thebigspur.com. Whittle on all things is the name of the segment, brought to you by Resto Pros of the Midlands. John, baseball. Okay, so it was like eating a sandwich. I'm going to use another analogy here. Where, like, the bread and toppings, you know, right there on either side, delicious. Great mayonnaise, mustard distribution. Lettuce, tomato, crisp, delicious. Nice cheese, too. The meat, terrible. Like budding beef, awful. You know, so it's kind of like one of those sandwich weekends where, you know, Carolina wasn't playing all that well in the middle, but on either side, pretty good. And then the big narrative now, it appears that the Eli Jones move is not working. Now, so I want to let you take that and run with it. First of all, the overall series, and second, kind of on, you know, this the move they made to put Eli on Saturdays and start Kimball and actually start him and play good for the most of the game on Fridays. You know, good, I think, has been fine. But, you know, Just let us know about that, because that's something I can't. I can give my opinion, but yours goes further. So go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Eli, I understand the move, and I understand why they've tried it, why they've done it. It hasn't worked for whatever reason, and you know, I think his biggest problem these last 2 weeks is he's tried to do some things that maybe he doesn't do. And I think that's been a problem for him. Like, why did South Carolina put him on Saturday? It was to give South Carolina the best opportunity to get some length on that day and have your bullpen guys fresh on Friday and Sunday, or use your bullpen on Friday and Sunday. So what does Eli try to do? He tries to go out there and give length. All right, so he's throwing – he's trying to keep his pitch count down so he can go deeper into games. And, you know, he's given up a lot of two strike hits. He's not really a strikeout guy. He's given up a lot of two strike hits. And, you know, I think that's something new for him that he hasn't necessarily done a whole lot of. And I think that going into that new role is messed with his mind a little bit from that standpoint. And then he's a ground ball pitcher. He's not averaging anywhere close to a strikeout an inning. And, you know, now he's got a defense behind him. You got a new first baseman, you got a new shortstop, you got a new third baseman. And, you know, I mean, if we're being honest, they're not that great in those spots from a defensive standpoint. And he's a ground ball pitcher. So now not only is he trying to keep his pitch counts down, he's also trying to go up out there and get strikeouts. And he's trying to get some pop flies, and it just hasn't worked out for him. And, you know, I think that he just needs to kind of reset his brain and think, listen, let me just go out and be who I am. Let me pitch the game that I can pitch, and you know, let the chips fall where they may after that. So that's kind of my thought on Eli. But that being said, he's found some barrels. But, you know, I do kind of think it would probably be best to put him back in that series opening role. This week is on Thursday. I don't know if they can bump him from Saturday to Thursday. I think they probably could, since he only threw like 55 pitches right in that range. And so I think they could do that if they wanted to. And that's probably what I would do, just to get Eli back and be kind of a tone setter. But, you know, I'm not necessarily down on Eli so much, or as much as maybe a few folks out there. And, you know, his run output will probably be a lot better these last couple of games with a little bit better defense behind him. But, you know, it is what it is. So, but the pitching staff is a whole. The starters had a terrible weekend, obviously. But, you know, we need to start calling that bullpen resto pros of the Midlands, I guess. they'll come in and clean stuff up after a disaster pretty well. You know, it was a pretty disastrous 3 days for South Carolina's three starters, and that bullpen came in and cleaned it up pretty good. So I thought that those guys did a good job, but the rotation stuff, it just hadn't worked.
John, that's a boss move. Whenever you can implement a sponsor into your commentary, you know, you've been around the block. This is not your first rodeo. That is a boss move, and in the spirit of that, it is the Power Hour presented by State Farm agent Kerry Patterson and Ryan Brewer Fence. Just kind of a follow-up on that, because I've seen some of the comments on that, and you hit on the key part of the equation with Eli Jones, that really what you're saying, if you're being overly critical of him pitching on Saturday as opposed to Friday, you're basically just saying it's a mental block, because nothing gets easier by moving him to Friday. The lineup is still going to be the same with the opponent Friday versus Saturday. You're going to have a better pitcher going up against you in all likelihood on Friday versus Saturday. The defense is going to be the same on Friday versus Saturday. I think the bigger concern for me, while people are obsessed with Friday or Saturday, is have people started to figure him out a little bit? Because he's not a swing and miss stuff guy. He pitches to contact. He's going to find bats, but does he avoid barrels? And right now it's been a few too many barrels for him. So that would be my concern. I wanted to get your thoughts on that as well. Friday or Saturday, that's great. It's fun kind of second guess material. But really, to me, the bigger concern is no matter what day he pitches on, he's going to have to go out there against SEC opponents and postseason opponents and figure out some of that magic he had early in the year as opposed to the last few starts.
Right. No, I agree with you. And I think he has caught a few more barrels. I don't know how many more that he's caught. You know, against Arkansas, he gave up some hits, but was able to kind of work around them. You know, he didn't go deep into that game. Those guys battle you pretty hard at the plate and foul off a bunch of pitches, but he gave up seven hits, but he had some defensive plays made behind him because eventually a few of those ground balls that got through, you know, found a glove. You know, you go back to Kentucky last weekend and, you know, he gave up seven runs, but, you know, four were earned. So you had a couple of errors behind you and there were some spots where, you know, your defense just didn't make a play. And, you know, on Saturday this past weekend against Missouri, you know, you have Petrie who for the second time just doesn't cover first base. And, you know, that leads to at least a couple of runs there. So, you know, I thought he caught, you know, a couple of barrels against a Missouri team that you know, isn't really a hard hitting bunch, but you know, those guys went against the shift a couple of times. I'm not quite there that he's been figured out, you know, maybe this coming weekend against Georgia, you know, those balls that Condon and Goldstein and those guys hit. I mean, those might go over the fence and, you know, he's catching them. But I'm not quite there just yet to say that he's been figured out. But it's certainly a fair point because he's not a strikeout guy.
Right, not a swing and miss guy. And again, whether you go game one or game two, you still have to get people out against the same lineup you're going to face. I've been listening to you the last few weeks, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I sense a little old school, like you don't sacrifice defense for offense unless you absolutely have to. Am I reading the John Whittle subconscious code correctly? Because there, in today's day and age of analytics, you know this, John, there's a lot of people that just say, look, you, whether it's major leagues, college, what have you, you stick a guy at a corner infield spot and hold your breath. As long as he's providing more offense, the analytics will tell you that's the way to go. But man, oh man, when the defense lets you down on some of the plays that you speak of the last few weeks, it could really make you reconsider that position, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I mean, I've always been more of a pitching and defense kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just kind of what I am, especially in the right spots. Now, you know, I've always been one who will sacrifice a little defense at second base. And, you know, Ray Tanner and most coaches will say, you know, you got to have be solid defensively in the middle. And, you know, I'll put a bat there at second with the hope that he can make a 45 foot throw. But you know, I'm excuse me, in general, a pitching and defense guy. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for scoring a lot of runs, and you just have to, you know, kind of grit your teeth and understand that these guys who are playing in positions that they're not very good at or not as good. Let's say, I'm not going to say not very good at, they're SEC scholarship, you know, baseball players, and some of them are best in the country at what they do. So I don't want to pretend that they're bad, but they're not as good as you know, what they could be at that position. And I just, you just have to understand that you're going to have to start winning games, you know, 10-8 and not 6-4. And, you know, that's just kind of what it is. You're going to have to deal with, you know, Petrie being a little bit, you know, indecisive on, you know, whether to go after a ball or cover the bag, or, you know, you're going to have to deal with Casas, you know, making a little bit of an errant throw, and Petrie maybe not being able to stretch quite right. Little bit slow on a transfer on a potential double play ball. Like it's just what it is. So, there's a lot to be said for scoring a lot of runs, but you're also going to lose some games 15-13 too.
Have we settled on, John, now, like the preseason narrative that this team is going to be excellent on offense, you know, kind of middle of the pack on defense, and the pitching is a bit of a question mark, where it seemed like earlier in the season, you know, you had solid starters, the bullpen has been consistent all year. That's been good. But here we, you know, find ourselves at a time where pitching, you know, can win you championships, and it looks like it gets a little shaky here right before the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is kind of getting back to, you know, a little bit of what we thought about this team during the preseason. You know, maybe not exactly, you know, how we thought it was going to look that way, but about what we thought it was going to look like, right? Like, you know, the starting pitching and what they would be able to do was always a little bit of a question. And, you know, there was always some confidence that, you know, there were going to be enough guys from a bullpen standpoint to be able to get you through. You know, the fact that, you know, Roman Kimball hasn't been a guy who can go out there and get you some innings on a consistent basis, you know, that's a little bit of a surprise. So how you've gotten there is maybe a little bit different. When you first started, when guys first got onto campus, it wouldn't be a surprise at all that Austin Brindling would be the starting center fielder. But it is a little bit of a surprise that, you know, after watching him in the fall, you know, what he's become and in such short order. So it's been a little bit of a different route than perhaps would be expected. But, you know, that's sports in general. That's college sports for sure. You know, there's always going to be some unexpected, some guys overperforming, guys underperforming. And at the end of the day, like, so much of college baseball is just about getting hot and clicking, having everything's click at the right time. And, you know, South Carolina is trending up from an offensive standpoint. And, you know, they've got to get the right pieces fitting right from a pitching standpoint. And, you know, I think they've got a pretty good sample size of pretty much everybody that they will have an opportunity to count on late in the year. So they should have a pretty good idea of how to do things going forward.
John, Georgia comes in scary good. Scary good. I say that because they knocked the cover off the ball and beat the tar out of Vandy all three games past weekend. Condon obviously is a star. They do score a lot of runs and give up a lot of runs too. It's a big series for South Carolina. They're, I guess, a game ahead of Georgia or tied with the Dogs for third in the East right now. If you're going to get into any kind of super regional conversation, I think this is one you got to have, right? So tell us about Georgia, what they bring to the table. I know there is a game with Winthrop in between now and then, but since we don't have you, tell us about Georgia and what you're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia has certainly taken me a little bit by surprise this year from what they've been able to do overall from an offensive standpoint. You know, I thought they had a chance to be decent, and Charlie Condon was obviously going to be you know, such a huge factor in that team, but also in like SEC Player of the Year, National Player of the Year conversations. But they've been really, really impressive. And, you know, you look up and down that lineup and you see guys like Dylan Goldstein out in the outfield. Like, he's hitting behind Charlie Condon, and he's been pretty darn good this year too. I mean, he's got 13 home runs. I mean, they've got five guys who have at least 13 home runs on the season, and that's really impressive. They don't strike out a ton. They walk a fair amount. Like, they're just an impressive, really, really impressive offensive team. So, you know, they can be a little bit vulnerable on the mound, like a lot of teams can at times, but they can really make up for it from an offensive standpoint.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know if we're – are we taking another break? We're not holding them to the end of the hour, are we?
Yeah, we got to take one quick break, Whittle, and we'll be right back. I was gonna come in. I didn't know.
I didn't know if we were working Whittle to like a mule like we normally do on Mondays.
I just have one more question. So we'll
uncomfortable
bring back
moment
one more
of the guy that stays at the party too long, and we keep him at the party too long. So I was going to end in one more from me, and then I'll let JC kind of go from there. I look at it, John, and I see a team that clearly, like most teams in the country, Carolina has some flaws. But I look at it right now in the six hole, if we were to have the SEC tournament tomorrow, 13-11, a chance to even creep up into the discussion for a super. Ahead of teams like Vandy, like Florida, like LSU, like Ole Miss, like – I'd say overall, considering some of the, you know, stubbing of the toe here and there, I would say you have to be pretty happy with what this team has been able to do. Would you agree with that, or do you disagree with that?
Well, if you read the message boards, the players suck and the coaches suck.
Well,
so
yeah,
so the fact that they're six in the league, I don't know. It must be all the great reporting that's going on that team or something like that. That must be why the standing is so good. Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like they're right now. They're six in the SEC from a tournament standpoint, as you mentioned. They're right there. They were 10th in D1 baseball as a host site. They can. I mean, that top eight is going to be hard to get to. Like for South Carolina, that the typical resume for a top eight seed is going to be a real challenge. You don't usually get a top eight unless you're at about 19 wins in the league. And South Carolina did not beat Clemson this year, so they don't have that like marquee out of conference, you know, series win either. They do have the win over North Carolina. I think it's going to be a real challenge when all is said and done for South Carolina to get into a top eight seed and without making like a deep run into Hoover. You know, I do think that in baseball, the conference tournament weighs a little bit more in the eyes of the committee from a positive standpoint than basketball. I do think it's been de-emphasized a little bit by the baseball committee, kind of bringing it back down to the scale of what they believe basketball conference tournament should hold. But I do think it does carry some weight. So if you go out there and win a few games and make a run, I think that can certainly help your resume. But, you know, South Carolina is solidly in a host. I think they've had a good year overall. I, with the way the season started out from an offensive standpoint, I think that turned a lot of folks off on the team. I think a lot of folks are turned off on Kingston, since South Carolina hadn't been to a College World Series under him. And, you know, this is the seventh year. So I think you combine those things. And I think folks just aren't quite as thrilled about
it.
Where this team is.
And no, you nailed. I mean, I talked about that last week. Like the vibe of the fans is not going to depend on what happens this weekend against Georgia or the following weekend to Tennessee or the SEC. It's going to be how deep does he go in the postseason? And I think there are a lot of fans that are just sitting back and waiting. Like, okay, yeah, 2 out of 3 in Missouri. I wanted a sweep, but I'll okay. You 2 out of 3 against Kentucky. It's good. It's good. It's good. But you know, but there's still meat left on the bone, and they're all. We know how this is going to unfold. I would say, be happy to host a regional, which I think this team is in great shape to do, and then be prepared to go on the road on a super. And I've got a homework assignment for you, John. Maybe you could put this on the big spur. If you go back and you look at it, and I know because I've been a part of a few of these in the last 5 years, top eight seeds that did not make it to Omaha or super regional host teams that did not win 2 at home, because that's likely going to be the scenario for Carolina. It's not the dominating percentage you would think. It's not like the home team in a super wins 90% of the time. It's not even close to that. There have been years where like half the teams that won at advanced Omaha were road teams. So just because Carolina doesn't get a top eight seed doesn't mean it's insurmountable to get to Omaha. When you're regional at home, please do that, because John's going to have to handle a lot of negativity on the message board if you don't. A lot. And then in the super, it's win 2 games on the road. If you're a good team and you're playing good baseball, you can beat anybody on the road 2 games. It happens all the time. So I maybe you can do a little analytics on that over the last 5 years to let people know that it's not only is it not impossible, it's done routinely where road teams and non-top eight seeds get to Omaha without being at home the whole way through.
Well, back when I was in school, like I would have a tendency to like read the question and only digest about half of it. So I'll give you like that half digested answer. Like uh-huh. I can't tell you the amount of teams that hosted the super that went on to Omaha. What I can tell you is that the top eight seeds in the last 4 years, 2 of them advanced to Omaha 1 year. Out of the top eight, that was 2022. And then 3 of those other years, 19, 21, and 23, of the top eight seeds, 5 went to Omaha. So, you know, that's a little bit more than half in 3 of the 4 years. And I don't know which of those teams ended up hosting Supers when they were knocked out, et cetera. So I'm not giving you the exact right answer to your question, but I'm giving you a little bit of a part of it. But you're right. Like it's, yeah. it's not necessarily a slam dunk that all these top eights are going to Omaha. There's upsets every year.
There you go. John, always a pleasure. We'll let you actually get out of here at a decent time. Go grab a sandwich, continue the great work, and get ready for a monster series. I'll be curious how they pitch Charlie Condon. I mean, 459, 33 homers, 69 ribs, OPS like we've never seen before, you know, a slugging percentage with a one in front of the decimal. I'll be very curious how they handle that. It's going to be that's kind of the game within the game, what they do with that. Because as you mentioned, they're not chopped liver behind him either.
Yeah. Yeah. You start out with 14 home runs with Collins, then go to 34 with Condon, then 13, and then 13, and then 5, and then
Bronx Bombers coming in here, man.
Yeah. I mean, Wes Johnson's done a heck of a job, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. The ball will fly out of Foley Field a little bit, but it'll fly out of Founders Park a little bit too. So,
yeah. I would say Founders is more hitter friendly than Foley.
It's a, yeah,
because Foley, if you go left, you know the dimensions there, they're pretty substantial. Like it's not a bandbox. You know, like Founders.
Fisher.
Well, yeah. Well, it is when you're playing in the 2006 Super Regional and you go back to back to back to back to back.
Infamous yeah. call.
How often do y'all go back and watch that on YouTube? Because I would say probably at least once a month for me.
I appreciate that. I don't know who it was that put the radio call on that, but if you go to the original posting, I think it's up to about 800,000 views. Which I don't know any other Gamecock clip that's been watched that many times, 800,000 plus. No, it's, I get people all the time and say, yeah, I was having a bad day at work. I just put that in, felt a little better. That's pretty cool.
That's right. Between that and the Clowney hit, that's probably the top two.
The Clowney hit, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, bud.
Thank you, John.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. Thanks, guys, having me.
I got two notes real quick to jump it in here. Told you guys the 2026 recruiting class. In state, South Carolina's looking good. Gamecocks picked up Anthony Baxter, a 6'4", 330-pound monster from South Point High School in Rock Hill for that class over the weekend. Like him, upside guy. You know, I mean, he's going to have to reshape and probably won't be 330 when he gets there. He'll probably go back to 330. I mean, it's easier to get weight on guys than off of them, but he's athletic enough. Mean guy, too. He'll knock your face in the dirt and like it. Some of you ask about five-star offensive tackle David Sanders, who officially visited spring game weekend. Tom Loy for 24/7 Sports had a nice report and says he thinks the Gamecocks are in the midst of it. I can report that what he is hearing is true. That is going to be an NIL deal. So go tell your friends to join Garnet Trust. that's important. I'm not saying that's the only thing that his decision is coming down to, but he's an elite left tackle. And if there's you know, there are freshmen out there that command a certain amount and don't read into the $1 million thing. That's a different number, but you know, it's not, he's going to probably make a little bit first year just because it's so rare. Those elite left tackles that talk about position value, after the first with Mike and all that. And he'll tell you the NFL draft left tackle is, pretty high up there.
Number one position in the first round.
Yeah, those are the two nuggets I have. I'm out of here, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, man. Enjoy the rest of the day. All right, so we got.
Oh yeah, well yeah. What I have to go do though is not enjoyable, so it's gonna suck for a little bit. But I will enjoy it as much as I can. See you guys.
Endure the sucky part. You'll enjoy being back on the show tomorrow. We'll enjoy the Love Chevy drive around the SEC, and we'll get to some of your chats. We'll even highlight a few in the second hour. Don't get a chance to do that very often. We've got a full boat here. So bring on your questions. Bring on your comments. We'll read some of them, go over those as well. It's going to be yours truly and Mad Dog for the final hour, the Power Hour, here on a Monday afternoon inside the Gamecocks.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we give 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show. It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.
Mike here for one of the better dining options in the capital city. You know, when I first moved there, I asked people around the radio station, where are the best wings? Well, the consensus was D's Wings. That was then. Today, they still have the best wings, but it's so much more now in their new location at 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia. Yeah, they get voted the best wings on a routine basis. Yes, they get voted the best sports bar on a routine basis, but they're not just about wings, and really, they're not just a sports bar. It is a family-run local restaurant and bar with 20 TVs and 25 beers on tap. And how about these daily specials? Every Monday night at D's, you've got 75-cent wings from 4 until closing. Tacos on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. You've also got ribs and oyster bucket specials on Thursday. And no matter how big the party is, 20 or more, no problem. Just call ahead of time and they'll take terrific care of you. They'll do takeout as well. And guess what? A human will answer the phone and take the order. Billy and his staff do an outstanding job. Check out D's. 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up a screen and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Pitches it to Brewer, turns the corner, touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina. And we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man.
The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.